So there's actually quite a few people here today for a three-day weekend. So Thanksgiving is the day that we pause to give thanks for the things we have. Memorial Day is the day when we give pause to thank the people who fought for and gave their lives for the things that we have. They gave us freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble, the right to a fair trial, the right to vote. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and I would like to start today's service with just a moment of silence to honor all of those who gave their lives that we might have these freedoms. So as Jenna said in her song, what are we called to be? In our world, it's often easy to underestimate the significance of one. What can one person do? What can I or you as an individual do to contribute to our city, our country, our church, our world? The answer is a lot. More than you realize, because no one else has the ability to do the things that specifically you can do. They don't have your talents. They don't have your gifts. And each one of us is an individualized expression of the divine with our own unique gifts. And each one of us is an opportunity for spirit. We're an opportunity for spirit to express and manifest itself on this worldly plane. Now, I have some fun facts for you. History is full of accounts of single individuals who have made a difference. Think of it. There are battles that turned on their axes because of one heroic person. Individual scientists, inventors, explorers, technology experts that have invented, found, and contributed things that without which we would be living in a far different world. Some of us might not even be living, you know? Then think of the difference that one vote can make. In 1649, one vote caused Charles I of England to be executed. In 1776, one gave America the English language instead of German. One vote. In 1845, one vote annexed Texas into the United States. In 1868, one vote saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. And in 1923, one vote gave Hitler control of the Nazi Party. One vote. One person's vote, one person's voice. That shows you, doesn't it, how much your voice can make a difference. One voice. You matter. Each one of us matter. And it's important for us to understand that all of us are part of the greater whole. Ernest Holmes tells us in this thing called You. You belong to the universe in which you live. You are one with the creative genius back of this vast array of ceaseless motion, this original flow of life. And further, he says, your soul belongs to the universe. Your mind is an outlet through which creative intelligence of the universe seeks fulfillment. And what that tells us, if we are part of that creative intelligence, then we are not limited, are we? We are not limited. We are part of the divine self. As Emerson said, you are a doorway through which the infinite passes into the finite, through which God becomes man. Isn't it amazing that Emerson is talking about us? He's talking about you and me. We are an opportunity for God to express on this plane. We are part of the creative force. We are part of that divine intelligence. Each of us, each one of us, is a point where God expresses uniquely, and each one of us is part of the whole that makes up God. We matter. Every single one of us matters. No two people have exactly the same gifts. We might have similar gifts, but none of us have gifts that are exactly the same. No two of us have exactly the same talent, and yet all of us are integral to this thing that we call life, and the world would be incomplete without any one of us. We want life to live through us, don't we? And we want peace to express as us, and we want joy and enthusiasm to be the truth of who we are. Sometimes, however, we lose sight of our own divinity. Sometimes we lose sight of our oneness with Spirit. In these moments, we may experience significant fear, significant doubt. And it's understandable, isn't it, that we doubt our ability to make a difference when we are sitting in our human self? But brush that aside and understand we all have something to contribute. So I have a story I want to share with you. And it's a story about a daughter whose mother came to visit. And she told her mom, the next time you come, I have some place I want to take you. I want to take you to this local daffodil garden. And not really knowing what the fuss was about, the mother agreed, and reluctantly they set off. And it was kind of a foggy day and overcast, and mom was impatient. I know, hard to believe that moms can be impatient. And she was tempted to turn the car around and go back, but her daughter was so insistent and so excited that she couldn't bring herself to do it. So after about 20 minutes, they drove down a gravel road, and there next to a little church was a handwritten sign that simply said Daffodil Garden. And so they got out and they walked down the path and they turned a corner to be confronted with the most breathtaking sight imaginable. The flowers were planted in majestic swirling patterns. It looked like someone had dropped a great vat of gold and poured it down over the mountain peaks and slopes. Great ribbons and swaths of deep orange and white and lemon yellow and salmon pink and saffron, each different color variety, was planted as a group so that it swirled and flowed like its own river. There were 5 acres of flowers. But who has done this? Said the mother, and the daughter answered, one woman. One woman. She lives on the property, and that's her house. And it was a little modest A-frame house. And so they walked over to the house, and on the patio they saw a poster. I'm guessing this woman got a lot of people coming to her door. And it says on the poster, answers to the questions I know you want to ask. Number one, 50,000 bulbs. The second, one at a time, by one woman, with 2 hands, 2 feet, and very little brain. And the third answer was, it began in 1958. Immediately, they understood what the daffodil principle was. This woman, whom they had never met more than 50 years ago, had begun, one bulb at a time, to bring her vision of beauty and her vision of joy to an obscure mountaintop. Still, just planting one bulb at a time, year after year, she had changed the world in which she lived into something beautiful. She had created something of indescribable magnificence and inspiration. And the principle that this daffodil garden taught is learning to move forward toward our goals and desires one step at a time. You don't have to plant the whole 5 acres all at once, just one baby step at a time. and learning to love the doing. Can you imagine? She must have loved the doing. 50,000 bulbs. When we multiply the tiny pieces of time with small increments of daily effort, we will find that we too, each and every one of us, can accomplish magnificent things. We can change the world. It makes me sad in a way, the mother said, that what I have accomplished, what I might have accomplished if I had started to do something 35 or 40 years ago, and I'd worked away at it one bulb at a time through all those years. Just think of what I might have been able to achieve. And the daughter answered, you can start tomorrow. You can start tomorrow. But what the story is telling us is that what we believe in, what we are passionate even about, even though it may seem trivial to other people, what we are passionate about, like planting one bulb, like planting one idea, like taking that first step to realize our dreams, can happen and can make a huge difference. What we do can change our world for the better, but I disagree with the daughter. Let's not start tomorrow. Let's start right now. Why wait? Why wait? We can start this very moment by planting the seeds, the seed thoughts of what we are passionate about and how to bring it into expression. And I have another story for you. I was on the internet yesterday and I came across Michelle Obama's speech at the Santa Fe Indian School commencement. Now, this is a high school. You know, he's not running for office. There's no reason for her to. She went there out of love. And she is encouraging these high school students who didn't think that when they wrote this letter she would really come. She is encouraging those students to pursue their dreams. And so it's too long to quote in its entirety, but she is talking to them, to the students, reminding that they are loved and that they matter and that they can accomplish great things. So I have this quote. Now, of course, it won't be easy, but standing here today with all of you, I am filled with hope. It is the same hope I feel when I think about my own story, how my great-great-grandfather was another man's property. My great-grandfather was another man's servant. My parents and my grandparents felt the sting of segregation and discrimination. But because they refused to be defined by someone else's idea of who they were and what they could be, because they held fast to their impossible dreams for themselves and their children, today my two daughters wake up every morning in the White House. And every day I try to pass down to my girls the same love and the same dreaming spirit that Marion and Fraser Robinson passed to me. That same love and spirit your ancestors passed down to you, and that you will soon pass down to your children and grandchildren. Because in the end, I believe that that is the true path of history in this country. It is long. It is. It is winding. And at times it can be very painful. But ultimately it flows in the direction of hope, dignity, and justice, because people like you stand up for your values. People like you who stay true to who you are and where you've come from and who work every day to share the blessings you've had with others. And so you see what she's telling us is the truth of it is everyone matters. Every single one of us has a contribution that we make to life. Every single one of us are blessed when we stand in our truth. The truth of who we are, when we embrace our values, when we embrace our own divinity, because you know you truly are a divine being. And when we share our gifts. Now, Ernest Holmes, in this thing called You, pointed out that it is our attitudes and our thinking that create the barriers that we encounter. It's our attitudes and our thinking. And when we change our thinking, we change our beliefs. And then the first part of your journey is complete. You've already accomplished it because you have at your disposal every tool that you need to build the bridge to plant the daffodils, to cause them to bloom, and to bring forth good and more good and more good in our lives. From the Science of Mind magazine, 1994, great oaks start in small acorns. There must be a seed before there is a plant. There must be an idea before there is a form. There must be determination before there is accomplishment. And there must be good-natured flexibility and one's willingness to follow the little through to the big. We do not start at the top, but we climb the ladder of life from the first rung. This law of evolution or unfoldment is in all nature. And so, like Jenna was saying, listen to your heart. Listen to your heart and see what it is that's yours to do. See what it is that's yours to do. If you listen long enough, you can start your journey with enthusiasm. That great teacher Jesus said, it is done unto you as you believe. As we believe is the when of it. As we believe, it is done. As we believe, we create. As we believe, we become. As we believe, we accomplish. The law works through us. We are loved and we make a difference. We are loved and we make a difference. You make a difference. You are important to life. The law works through you. Each one of us has a contribution to make to life. And life, our world, would not be the same without you, because you matter. And what you believe matters. And the truth of who you are matters. And what you accomplish matters. You matter. So perhaps our task is to start right here, where we are, to begin to express the divine in our own unique way. Maybe it is a few words of inspiration to the right person. It could be a book, a picture, music, a dozen things. There's a lady in Australia who's in her 50s, and babies were being abandoned. So she started a project in her home, and it's called Operation Safe Haven. And she has bassinets set up in her living room so that women, when they abandon their babies, can bring them to her door, no questions asked. That is her contribution. That is her vision. That is what she sees as her work to do in this world. We all have an opportunity, don't we, to do work in the world. Listen and listen and listen. It's never too late to do what is ours to do. So let us just get silent for a moment and close our eyes and take a breath and listen to that small, still voice within. Just for a moment, breathe and listen. And ask yourself this question: what is mine to do? What is mine to do? When you're ready, take another deep breath and open your eyes. Each one of us here has the ability and the opportunity and the choice to express the divine in our own unique way. Each one of us matter. Each one of us are important. Each one of us has a gift to share with one another. Each one of us. When we remember there is nothing outside of God and we are one with it, we know that we can accomplish whatever it is we set out to do. Who we are and what we do matters. That one vote, it makes a difference. So you have homework for this week, and your homework for this week is to take that step, to plant that seed, to bring into expression what is yours to do. Something you are passionate about, something that fulfills the murmurings of your soul. All of us have dreams of things we would like to do. Plant the seed. Water it and allow it to bloom. So my affirmation is, I open my mind, my heart, and my soul to allow the divine to express through me doing what is mine to do. Please join me in prayer.